have something on my mind this evening that was sort of stimulated a bit by something Wayne Friesen said last week about the seed. And I'm going to look at three different aspects of the seed tonight. We're all familiar with seeds, of course. There's a source of the unique seed being the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a suffering of the unique seed, and there's a special opportunity provided by the message of the unique seed. So we'll start by reading in Genesis chapter 3, please. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Then please to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, please. And we'll read it verse 12. Sorry, we'll read John chapter 12, verse 24. Gospel of John chapter 12, verse 24. Maybe for the context, we can read back to verse 21. Verse 20, rather. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So the corn of wheat is a reference to himself and to the death which he is going to suffer. And then, please, to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 is the opportunity that's provided by the Word of God. Luke 8, verse 4. And when much people were gathered together, and there were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They in the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. We've become perhaps a little more sensitive to how important grain and wheat and things that are growing are in the last maybe 12 months. We've probably gone to the store and we've probably seen the price of bread go up. We've probably gone and seen how various things are becoming more expensive. And if you're familiar with the world situation, you know that there are some countries like Egypt which are really having problems getting enough grain to meet their normal supply because of the war in Ukraine. The grain seeds aren't getting out, not being exported from the country, and other countries are suffering as a result. Now, we're not here to talk about the politics or things like that, or how people have weaponized grain and food. We're here to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's interesting how often we find references to the idea of a seed in Scripture. And it starts out right in Genesis, which we read, in verse 15. You'll remember that Eve and Adam had been in the garden, and they'd been in the center of the garden where the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was, the tree that God had forbidden them to partake of. And Eve had seen it, and she had thought it was good to eat, and she'd partaken of it, and then she gave it to Adam, he partook of it. And so now God is coming, and he's putting judgment on them. And he says to Satan, who was embodied in the serpent, he says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So here the Lord God is giving his judgment, and he's telling Satan that there's going to be enmity between the woman, that is Eve and all like her, and between thy seed and her seed. So she is going to have a seed, and that enmity and that anger between Satan and the seed of the woman is going to continue. It's going to continue, and there's going to be certain characteristics of it. It, that is the seed, is going to bruise Satan's head. That is, he's going to defeat him. And it says Satan is going to bruise his heel. Now, it's clear from this that the seed of the woman is actually male. Thou shalt bruise his heel. And Satan is going to have this attempt to bruise the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's not going to be able to do it in an effective way. So the Lord Jesus Christ was presented as the seed, and he was the one who came into humanity through a virgin birth. Now we might say, why was it important that it be a virgin? Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." This was a sign that was going to be given. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which by interpretation means God with us. So there was going to be a seed of the woman that was going to be born, and that person was going to be Emmanuel, God with us. So Adam was the one who was responsible for the woman. Adam bore responsibility for the failure in the Garden of Eden as well as Eve. And God put judgment upon Adam, and the taint of sin was passed from Adam to every person that was born afterwards. The transmission, it seemed, of evil was something that came through the male. And the seed of the woman, the one who was not going to be affected by that taint, was going to be the Son of God, the one who would come into this world and live without sin. He was born of a virgin. Amazing that this could have happened, that someone could have been conceived by the Holy Spirit and could have been brought forth without the intervention of a man. So he was a seed of the woman, and this underlined his purity, underlined the fact that he didn't have a taint of sin in that developmental process. And we think of his life. What a wonderful life. There was no taint of sin. There was no thought of sin. Remember how Satan came and tempted him, and he had to withdraw because there was no sin in him. Remember how he could say to those who would say he had sinned, he would say, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" They had no basis for calling him a sinner or saying that he had sinned. God found pure delight and pleasure in him. He would open the heavens and say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God was well pleased with the life and the obedience of his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ had the testimony of those who knew him that he had done no sin, that there were no words of sin that escaped his lips, that there was no sin in him. He was a perfect one, and he was the one who had no reason to have to bear judgment for sin. And yet, because of his love for you and I, he was ready to bear the judgment of our sin and be our Savior. So God also had times when he spoke of the seed of others. He spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ as being the seed of David. And we would remember that David was the one whose throne was established. It was established as something that would never be departing from the one who was upon the throne of Israel. It would be the right of Judah and the right of the lineage of David to be upon that throne. You know, Solomon failed. This kingdom was divided when Solomon's sons came to power. And soon it was Judah and Israel, and soon Israel was defeated, and later Judah was defeated. And sad to say, that throne seemed to be disrupted, and the continuity of its existence seemed to fall away. These days, we don't have a king in Israel. We do have a president. We do have a prime minister, but not a king. But the day is coming when there's going to be a king, and that king is going to be of the lineage of David, the seed of David. That king is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to be the one who's going to rule in Israel, rule in power and might. He's going to be the one who's going to be honored by the people of Israel, and he's going to be obeyed, and all the nation is going to look to him, and he's going to bring glory to the nation, glory throughout the millennium. What a blessed thought that is, that the seed of David is going to reign in a soon coming day. You know, as we look at the conditions in the world and the conditions in Israel today, it's pretty clear that there's a lot of problems and a lot of tension, and different people in the world are bringing, different nations, I should say, are bringing their forces against Israel and to attack Israel in different ways, through subtle ways, through the operations of rebel groups. But Israel, in a coming day, is going to be blessed by the Lord and going to reign. We remember that Solomon said, when he was talking to Shimei, who had cursed David, he said, "And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever." So the throne of David is established forever in the plans of God. And it's going to be manifest in a soon coming day. And when it is, we won't be here, we'll be in heaven with the Lord, but it will be a throne of glory and a time of glory upon this earth. Now we also know that there was another seed that was mentioned, and that is the seed of Abraham. Peter is preaching and he says in chapter 3 of Acts, "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." Well, what is the seed that has provided blessing for all kindreds of the earth? Is it some of Abraham's sons or grandsons? Is it the tribe of Judah? Is it Jacob? What is the seed? Well, those people had certain things that they brought to the other nations, but they also had many sins in their lives, which have affected their effectiveness. And so the seed of Abraham has not fully been revealed yet. But the Lord Jesus Christ, again, is the one who is the fulfillment of this. He is the fulfillment of this, of the seed of Abraham. And when he comes, through him, all kindreds of the earth are going to be blessed. So again, it would seem to speak to a future time, the millennium. And all kindreds of the earth are going to be in a place of blessing as a result of him. So it's not just Israel that's going to be blessed. It's going to be all of the nations of the earth at that time which are going to be blessed. We don't see it today. What we see when we look around is competition, anger, a desire to destroy, a desire to injure. But in the coming day, there's going to be blessing, a blessing even for the Arab nations, a blessing for all peoples who will bow and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, is the same as the seed of the woman. Now, this is not the seed of Eve. Eve sinned. It is a seed of a virgin, Mary, of Bethlehem. But she also was looking for a savior. She wasn't perfect. She wasn't the immaculate person. She needed a savior just the same as everybody else. And her spirit rejoiced in God, her Savior, when the seed was given to her, and she knew that this would be a redeemer for Israel. So each one of us need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, need to come to know this seed and to make him our own. And so if you don't know him as Savior tonight, we would pray that you would come to know him, because the time is short. The time before the judgment seat, the time before the judgment of the Lord upon this earth is short. And we don't know when that'll happen, but it could happen at any time, and particularly as we see the events of the world around us, it looks like it's getting nearer and nearer. Now, Mary had the seed, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ, as we noted. And he came in purity, and he came as one who was going to be the mediator between God and man. He was God manifest in the flesh. And to be a mediator, he had to be able to be in touch with God, the God of heaven. And he also had to be able to reach down to the lowest of human experience so he could represent the lowest and the most depraved people on earth. Hard to understand how he could do that, but he did. He took upon himself flesh and blood. Philippians tells us, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took on him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men. And being found as fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So he was ready to go to a place of extreme suffering, a place where the Romans executed the people that they thought were criminals, a place where there was no pity shown. He was falsely tried in the judgment hall of the high priest. He was falsely tried before Pilate. Pilate proclaimed his innocence time after time, but he couldn't prevail upon the crowd, and because he was a weak character, he listened to the crowd and he let them have their way, and he condemned the Lord Jesus Christ to death. And so the Lord was taken out to a place of crucifixion. But you know, all those things were also in line with God's purposes. It was God's purpose that he should be crucified on that particular day, at that particular time, in that particular place. And so as he was upon that cross, God made to meet upon him the judgment that our sins deserved, made to meet upon him the judgment that even the grossest sinner in this world deserved. He poured the judgment for that person upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? So that that person at least could have an opportunity to be saved. You know, we're not saved just because Jesus died on the cross for sinners. We have to make that our own. We have to accept that for ourselves. We have to put our faith and trust in his work as being that which has atoned for our sin, my sin individually. And when we do, we can have the confidence that we're saved, that we're born again. And that's what God wants for each one of us, is to have that confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his sufferings on Calvary, has bore the judgments that my sins deserved. All of us are sinners. We have to acknowledge that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Scripture says. But the Lord Jesus Christ has endured the judgments for those sins, and he can provide salvation for each one, for you tonight. So he took the lowest place that we could imagine he would take in order to be the mediator between God and between man. And no man is left out. No one is too bad and can't be considered for God's salvation. Said in the past about this man, Jeffrey Dahmer, a man who had committed terrible sins. They had found partially eaten bodies in his apartment. Just most gross sort of sins. And yet Jeffrey Dahmer, while he was in jail waiting for his death sentence, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he testified to that. He could have salvation and forgiveness, even for those heinous crimes that he committed, because the Lord Jesus Christ had borne the judgment for him. He can give salvation to each one. He can give salvation to you. And what an encouragement. What do you think of the seed of the Savior? You know, we're coming to Christmas time soon. And very soon people will be thinking about Christmas carols and songs and so forth. Round yon virgin, mother and child, let's be singing about Christmas and the coming of the Savior. Wonderful time. But you know, we don't appreciate sometimes just what those Christmas carols mean. I was talking to a fellow many, many years ago who was telling me how he got saved. And he said he'd gone into a department store and he was shopping for Christmas presents. And they were playing Christmas carols. And he couldn't understand what these carols were about. He didn't know what the meaning of it was. And so he went and asked his parents when he got home, and they didn't know what the meaning of it was. So he began to search. And because he was a searching soul, God led him to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior through those Christmas carols. So God is able to use different things to speak to different people. We should honor God and honor the Lord Jesus Christ, because many times that speaks to others as we do. So now let's think about the second portion that we read, the suffering of the seed, or the seed that dies. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is making a particular point here in John, and it can't be carried through completely in thinking about him, because he didn't just die like a seed dies, but he came back to life, he rose again, and he lives, and also the fruits of his death live as well. So here we find that the Greeks have come to worship at the feast. And many people have been thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. There are some who want to honor him because he raised Lazarus from the dead. They're really wanting to make him of some position in Israel. There are others who took the branches from the palm trees and they laid them before him and saluted him as he came down the side of the mountain into Jerusalem. And they said, "Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." The Pharisees got extremely angry at that. They didn't like that language. They didn't like the honor and attention that the Lord Jesus Christ was getting. And so there's a lot of attention focused on him. And so the disciples meet with these Greeks, and the Greeks say they want to see Jesus, and so Philip and Andrew, they come and they tell Jesus that if somebody wants to see you. And the Lord gives them an answer which on the surface sounds very evasive. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. What hour was this? He'd spoken of this hour time after time. He'd spoken of an hour when he would be betrayed, when he would be taken and he would be crucified. That was the hour of his trouble. That was the hour of his trial. And he says, it's not my time to go into, he's essentially saying, it's not my time to be going and talking to the Greeks. It's not my time to be advertising myself as the one who is able to do all these wonderful things. It's my time to die. He says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So if he didn't go into death, then he would abide alone. But when he went into death, he made it possible for many others to be saved, for many others to be with him in glory, made it possible for you and I to be part of the bride of Christ. So he's saying, if a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it brings forth much fruit. So he's making an analogy. He's going to fall into the ground. He's going to be buried. He's going to bring forth much fruit as well. You know, if you look at a seed, you'll find that there are usually about three things about a seed. It usually has a hard protective covering on it. It usually has a little embryo in it, which is the germ where the life is. Often that embryo, they say, is something that has maybe a little sprout in it if it's a plant of some type. And then there's the body or meat of the seed, which the little embryo can feed on. And when that seed goes into some waste ground and the conditions are right, the embryo will start to expand and start to grow. And it will break down the wall, that protective wall around it. And so the little seedling grows, and it comes to life. But the old seed, it sort of decays, and there's not much left. Maybe there's a bit of a shell if it's a bean, or maybe there's a little mess of some material if it's potato that you're talking about. But the life is in that seed, and that seed, when it takes root, is able to grow and produce some new life. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he not only went into death, he not only brought forth life, but he himself rose again from the dead. Now, that's something that we need to perhaps emphasize. If the Lord Jesus Christ had just died and hadn't risen again from the dead, there would be no effectiveness in his work. But because God has accepted him, and God has raised him from the dead, he is now fully accepted by the God of heaven, and he is able to save and give life to every other person. He's able to transform every one of our lives. He's able to make us into his image. You know, when a little seed falls into the ground, it's going to be the same plant that comes as a seed was that was planted. It's not going to be, if you plant a sunflower seed, you're not going to get grapes. It's going to be what you planted is going to come up. And so as the Lord was planted in a way, he's bringing forth those who will be in his image. And so as we're saved, we should be like him. We should grow each day to be more like our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says in verse 25, a principle, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So as we live our lives, we can either love our lives, love the things around us, love the things we enjoy, and live for ourselves, and in a sense, our life in terms of God's accounting will be lost. The opportunities of serving him will be lost. Or we can say, I'm not going to go in for the things of this world. I'm going to go in for the things of Christ. And I'm going to, if it needs me to die for him, if it needs me to be a martyr, I'm going to do it. And a person who lives like that is going to have honor, and they're going to have fruit in their lives. So the Lord Jesus Christ was ready to give himself to death because he knew that that would please God. He knew that that's what was required for your salvation and my salvation. And then he says, now is my soul troubled. What shall I say then? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. So here was the seed, and his desire was to glorify the name of God in all that he did, in all the events that were going to fall upon him as he went towards Calvary's cross. What a loving and wonderful Savior we have that he would do that. You know, when he was raised again, he was raised in a glorified body. He went into heaven. There were some unique things about that body of his glory. And he has promised that when we are raised in a future day, we're going to be raised in a glorified body as well. It won't have all of those limitations that maybe we've accumulated over years of aging. It won't have all of those limitations we have because of our bad attitudes or our bad habits or whatever we may have. It won't have those things. We'll be glorified. We'll be with him. We'll be perfect in his presence. And we can rejoice in that future hope that we have with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We might just turn to that for a moment. It says it best in terms of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. It says there, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised to glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised to power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And then he goes on to say how the last Adam was made a quickening spirit in contrast to the first Adam, who was a living soul. So we have that hope before us, each one who's saved, that we're going to be with our Lord in glorified bodies. We're going to be with him for all eternity. What a blessed hope that is. And each one of us in the meeting this evening who's saved has that hope before us. If there's anybody in the meeting not saved, we'd implore you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, so you will have that hope as well. We'll take a few minutes just to look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 presents a picture of an old-fashioned process of a farmer. He's out sowing his seed. He's broadcasting the seed. He doesn't have a seeder to put the seed down precisely in the ground. The seed isn't being planted on a tilled field. It's being thrown out, and he's going to come back later, and if there are some good plants, he's going to harvest those plants. And it says in verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. So here was a place where people were walking. The ground was hard. It was packed down. And it was trodden down. So people are walking. It's trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. So the seeds were sitting there on the surface. And the birds came and they grabbed those seeds. And they fed on them. They devoured them. And there was nothing left to grow. And then he says, some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprung up, there were some nutrients on the rock. Maybe there was a little bit of moisture, but not enough to carry the plant. So it sprung up, there was a little bit of growth, and then it withered away, and the wind blew it away. Why? Because it says it lacked moisture. So there was not enough moisture to get the root growing. This is a little seed in the embryo and the little seed again. Some fell among thorns. So here's ground that could grow things, all right, but it's thorny ground. The thorns have never been kept under control. And the thorns sprang up, with the seed and choked it. You know, thorns are very aggressive plants, and they can take the nutrients and the moisture, and that's what these thorns did. And the little plant that was being sown didn't have a chance. The weeds grabbed that nutrient and that moisture. And then it says, other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. Now, he's making this statement. There are a large number of people who are listening to him, and they're all kind of scratching their heads and saying, well, how does this relate to what he's teaching? How does this apply? And so the disciples come to him because they too have some questions. They want to know about the kingdom of God. They want to know how this is instructing them about the kingdom of God. And so the Lord says, there are three types of soils which are not effective. There's the wayside, because when the seed comes, and there are people walking back and forth, and these birds come, it's like the devil which comes, and it takes the ideas, and it takes the good things that have been said, and it steals them away and replaces them, or doesn't replace them at all. It takes them away, and the person loses the thoughts and loses those desires he had for salvation very quickly. So the seed is being sown, like the scriptures are being sown, like the gospel is being told forth to people, but it's falling on ground that is hard ground. It's being trampled, and the devil is there to steal the word away. And some falls on rock. And he says, those who are on the rock are like people who hear the word, they receive it with joy. You know, there are some people who, when they hear something new, it's just the most wonderful message, and they really want to believe it. But the problem is that there's no root there. There's no stability. And so along comes a testing. Along comes some difficulty. And so when that testing comes in to their lives, they lose confidence and they fall away. They lose interest. They don't think this is the solution after all. They had a joy in it initially, but very quickly that joy is lost because some problem has come and they've fallen away. So it hasn't got that root that gives them the stability that will hold them through the times of testing. And then some falls among thorns. And he says, this is like people who have cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And the fruit doesn't come to perfection because all of the nutrients, all of the energy, all of the time, all of the thought, all of the love is being directed at these things which are secular and selfish. They're being directed at cares and riches and pleasures. All of these things. And there's nothing left for that little seed that God has planted to gain growth and the nutrients it needs, to gain the energy it needs to grow. And then he talks about the good ground. These are people with an honest and good heart. They hear the word of God, they accept it in its simplicity, and they try to appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done. They try to understand the word of God and see how they should live. And they're ready to pursue this. And they have good hearts, they have honest hearts, and they live for God. And they bring forth fruit with patience. They're able to endure, they're able to continue. So, you know, the word of God, the gospel message, doesn't differ when it goes forth in one place and another place. Yeah, it's maybe said in a different way, maybe phrased in a different way, but the word of God's going forth in many different ways around the world. It's going forth in meetings like this. It's going forth on radio. It's going forth on podcasts. It's going forth in different ways. Sometimes it's not, we might call it a bit of a corrupted word of God, the way it's spoken, but it's going forth. And people either respond to it and accept it, or they don't. The salvation comes not because of the person. It comes because the person is providing the environment for the Word of God to grow. But the Word of God is going forth, and if it comes to a heart which is hardened, a heart which is skeptical, a person who's skeptical, a person who allows thoughts from other philosophies and things that Satan might put in their mind, he'll take that word away, and there'll be no growth, be no salvation. Sometimes people come and they're like the seed on the rock. It grows, they have a lot of joy for the first few months, and then all of a sudden something comes and they're tested and they turn away. Sometimes we might say, well, is that person saved? Not our question to answer, really. The God is the one who knows, and we'll know when he reveals it to us. But sadly, those aren't the people who are going to be bringing forth fruit. The people who have thorny ground, they allow all of these things in their lives, the cares, the riches, the pleasures, and so forth in their lives, and they give those priority. The Word of God's not going to have a stronghold there. They're not going to bring forth fruit to perfection, it says. Things aren't going to go forward as they should. It's in the simple, honest, good heart where the gospel message is received, and it has its effect. So even though we might be saved tonight, and I ask my own heart this, is my heart a good, honest, simple heart? Does the Word of God, when it comes to me, does it have the impact that it should have? Does it produce fruit in my life? Or are there other things it produces? Or are there other things that are being produced in my life because of cares and because of pleasures and because of the riches of this world and all of these other things that could happen? Or perhaps philosophies and things that we read, things that could distract us from following the Word of God. We need to also take heed to this word. This is a word about the sower and the seed as the gospel is being spoken, but it has application to our lives as well. When we hear the Word of God, or we read the Word of God, it should have an impact on our lives. So the seed is important. The seed was what was brought in the heritage of Mary, the one to whom the Lord was born. The seed was brought in the life of David through the Lord Jesus Christ, so that there would be a ruler of the lineage of David upon the throne of Israel forever. The seed was brought in the case of Abraham to be make him a blessing to the nations and all kindreds of the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the source of all blessing to mankind. And we find that it was because of his willingness to become like the corn of wheat which fell to the ground and died, although he rose again and he lives in glory. And the message of that salvation and the message of our Lord Jesus Christ goes forth and is falling upon each of our hearts, and we can respond to it in different ways. May God help us that we'll respond to it, as in the case of the good ground, and that will change our lives and make us more Christ-like and make us more fruitful for our God. Let's pray.